It looks like what we've seen so far of Lord of the Rings. To me, this is a long-time Tolkien fan. It's really what I've always been practically praying for to be done for this particular series of books. Is that what it seemed to you when you guys were filming the movie?
It is dangerous in one respect to look at it like that. But I will say this. I think Peter's the same as you. But remember, Peter is Peter, and you are you. And your Tolkien may be a little different than his. Secondly, I've said this before in a bunch of front of a very, avid fan, so, Tolkien is not Dickens when it comes to character. He just is not. And that is not a great thing for making a movie. Because it's action-driven. The characters, he suggests things about, but you never feel the rhythm of the character totally. You know that the rhythm's in there somewhere because it's suggested. So, we had to dig what might he been getting at here, and then how are we gonna now do that? So things are said about them, and so we pulled things out and we made things explicit that Tolkien never would have. I mean, in a million years he would have done that. So it's, and that's a risk. As far as the look goes, I think it was the one Tolkien would have liked himself, because as the artist who's in charge is the one that Tolkien picked. So it's his. A lot of it's really his vision. The notes that his son left prominently displayed and were read. Every word by both Peter and Fran, I didn't read them. It was that long, and it's not good for me to do that kind of thing. I need to be freer than that. I mean, I read the books, and I listened to it, but it's not too good for me to try to be accurate. I have to be alive, hopefully.
Seeing as you did Lord of the Rings and Babylon 5, were there any early childhood science fiction or fantasy influences on you that is enabling you to do these roles?
My father died when I was 3, and before, and while he was still, in our household, he had four kids. Apparently, he was very into macabre. He loved the macabre. It's French. And there were some, my older sister said it was rough getting to the bathroom at night because you had to pass a lot of scary pictures and stuff that was around. That may have been an influence. And I was very, very, very into Halloween, I remember, when I was growing up. I loved Poe. Edgar Allan Poe when I was a kid. I could do a lot of stories by heart. Not the, line, but I knew the Edgar Allan Poe stories. And my mom, of course, read aloud, but she just sort of told me that was my thing. I kind of had a love of that kind of stuff. Science fiction, not so much. But horror, yes. In a Poe, more Poe sense, just the idea of something scary, something unknown. And of course, didn't we all have, you're too young maybe, you didn't have the big house that was abandoned on your block, right, that where the axe murder took place? There were a couple on ours. I don't know what the matter with you was. So I grew up with all of that. It's just, I guess the 50s were just a much more innocent and different era. And all of that was much more implied and wonderful than it is now. Now it's gotten to be, it's gotten so explicit, it's a joke on itself. I mean, you can't shock anybody anymore. All of horror is a, is laughing at horror, laughing at itself, which I guess is kind of fun. I did Child's Play. My favorite one is the last one of the Child's Play movies, just because it was such a fun romp, kook. You know, I really thought it was pretty witty.
Voiceovers, or do you find it more challenging than actually being on screen?
Oh, no. Well, it's definitely easy, voiceover work, in a way. Because when you do it for, you don't, it's not synced, it's not ADR. It's not, I don't have to sync to some doll. The doll syncs to me, okay? And so I just go into a studio and there's a mic there, and I just say the lines, and I do a movie in you know, a day and a half. You know, that's cool.
You know, with Star Trek Voyager is wrapping up its 7-year run, and I thought, you know, Ensign Sutter, the character you played in the beginning of the series, I thought that was one of the most memorable characters the show's had.
Thank you.
And the whole shift going from essentially somebody who was locked up and actually becoming a hero at the end. That must have been incredible to play. And I also enjoyed the scenes between yourself and Tim Russ in the episode Meld in particular, when he was trying to help you and all that. What memories do you have of Star Trek Voyager?
Well, number one, for me, it was a challenge to do a kind of acting I don't get to do a lot, which I usually play very intense people, and there's a lot of emotion in it, and he didn't care at all. Either that or he was, you know, Spock, who doesn't have any feeling either. You know, so it was doing a performance without, you know, doing a lot of stuff that I normally do, so it was very different and very cool. I enjoyed that part of it a lot. And it was fun talking like Spock. You know, and even though they pulled me away from it, but it was kicking and screaming, I'm telling you. You know, I really wanted to be, you know, to walk around and do Spock. Tim and I went diving and stuff. I mean, I really liked him. He's just a sweet guy and a lot of fun. And I even got to work. I know Johnny, Ethan, and I got to do a little thing with him. And you know, when you get to act with a friend, then that's really a lot of fun.
Yeah,